Lane Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. We're honoring Taxman this morning by figuring out how to experiment with gardening, which is something Taxman always taught us to do. We're thinking about it really hard. And we're also doing what Taxman always did, which is to think about where in the world he was. One of the great things Taxman did was to take advantage of his place in the world, his climate, the climate of his, the climate around his house, the climate of his city, the climate of Mobile Bay. Taxman always experimented, always great about doing that. Something great to learn. So it's your turn now. That's how we carry on the memory of Taxman. And I hope we'll always remember what a great voice he had for this show. But let's talk just a little bit this morning about some of the things that you can be doing. Seeds. Taxman would love this. And I know Taxman would call in and tell me, you know, that's a great idea. He would approve of this idea. If you've got stockings for your kids, if you've got stockings for your spouse, think about putting seeds in there. Yeah, I know. You know, the little tangerines we used to get were really great. All of those things were wonderful. The nuts, well, I don't know what people put in stockings anymore. But, man, seeds, what a great opportunity to put seeds in there. This is the time of year. You know, I always tell people, we have spring planting every month of the year. But there are four or five times of the year when planting becomes very big and very important on the Gulf Coast. And it's not just March and April. In fact, March and April's not really the best time to plant most seeds. It's not. It's an okay time for some seeds, but it's not a great time for planting seeds. The best time for planting seeds is starting in late December and early January, just as the days begin to get longer. A great time to plant seeds on the Gulf Coast. So let's talk about a couple of the types of seeds that you could put into stockings so that they could be planted during the 12 days of Christmas. You should know that the first thing I'm going to tell you, seeds for your stockings, sugar snap peas. This is the time. We plant those on the Gulf Coast during the 12 days of Christmas. Best time I have found to plant them. You could probably plant them a little earlier. Probably won't make much difference, but you could. You could plant them maybe a little later, and you might get lucky. But most years, the time to plant sugar snap peas is during the 12 days of Christmas, from December 25th to January 6th. What a great thing to put in stockings. Now, let me tell you something about sugar snaps. They're great to eat. The best ones are the ones, in my opinion, that grow on poles, but there are some that don't grow on poles. Let's talk about some of the great sugar snaps you could put in somebody's stocking. And these would be great for kids, because the kids would enjoy watching them come up. So let me suggest that you try a variety of sugar snap called Sugar Ann. They're great. They're great sugar snaps. They don't climb really high. And so what you'll do is, when you put them in the stockings for your kids or for your spouse who hasn't grown peas before, you just say, look, we got to go out. We got to get some pea brush. That's what you're going to call it. We're going to call it pea brush. And in fact, if you want to put a little bit of pea brush into the stockings, somebody's got to think they're switches, right? But put a little bit of pea brush in there to remind them, oh, we've got to go find more pea brush so that we can put after these sugar snaps come up, so they'll have something to cling to. Pea brush are just sticks, thin sticks, that stand about knee high. that gives something for the peas to climb on. Great fun thing. Great fun thing for your kids. What a great way to introduce your kids to gardening with sugar snap peas. Sugar Ann will do it. There's some beautiful, if you want to put them on a trellis, a great thing to do. Sugar magnolia is this beautiful purple pea that we've got. There's the classic sugar snap, which gets about 6 feet tall. That's really good. Cascadia is another good one. All of these are good. Amish sugar snaps, absolutely delicious. Great selection of sugar snaps to put you have in stockings. You have just enough time to get those seeds ordered. If you want to know where to get them, you call me. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about sugar snaps. What a great thing to put as a stocking stuffer this time of year. There's nasturtiums. Can I talk about nasturtiums? Nasturtiums would be a great thing to put in stockings this time of year, a great thing for your kids. It takes a little longer for the nasturtiums to come up. We're going to talk about how to plant all these things. Don't you worry. We're going to give you everything you need to know to plant them. But nasturtiums, absolutely beautiful, absolutely edible. One of the most delicious edible things in my garden every year are the nasturtiums. They're beautiful. You don't have to do anything fancy to them. You just eat them. Eat them right off the vine. You eat the leaves. You eat the flowers. Incredible. Incredibly delicious. And beautiful and fragrant. Nothing wrong with nasturtiums. We're going to talk about how to deal with nasturtiums. Nasturtiums I'd grow in pots, get them started in pots this time of year. But what a great thing to do. Put a little pot with the seeds in there and just say, let's get these things started. Let's learn how to grow seeds for your kids, for your spouse. Say, oh boy, I know you're going to love these nasturtiums. Great thing to have. Marigolds. It's a great time of year to start marigolds as well. Not a problem with that. Go ahead and get those marigolds. You know, there's another thing that I would also try. You're going to have to really hurry on this one. You can't piddle on it. Another great stocking stuffer this time of year are sweet peas. We mentioned those last week. I want to talk about them again. I think you've got just enough time. If you get an early flowering sweet pea, we can talk about what some of those varieties are. An early flowering sweet pea would be a great stocking stuffer. Sweet peas are not for eating. They're for smelling. They're for the fragrance. They're for the beauty of the flowers. It's an old grandmother flower. They're great flowers for the Gulf Coast if you plant them at the right time. So some great stocking stuffers, thinking about all that. You know, the other thing I'm thinking about is peppers and tomatoes. And if you've got somebody who loves peppers and tomatoes, what a great thing to put in their stocking. Go ahead and let's get some tomato seeds so that they'll have them ready, because we need to be starting those tomato seeds in late December, early January, so they'll be up big enough to grow. We'll talk about how to do that. You definitely got to start your peppers very early on, very early. Ronnie Lipham suggests Alabama red okra and Clay County yellow watermelons. Hey, Ronnie, I'm right there with you. Those would be great stocking stuffers from Baker Creek. Lots of great seeds that we need to be doing this time of year. Somebody asked me, when is the best time to take a cutting on satsumas to graft, for cleft grafting? You know, there's a little bit of debate about that, but here's the thing. I think it's a little too late. Now, I don't know. I'm thinking it's a little too late. Maybe it's okay still, but I would have taken them. Tori Revel, one of the people I trust to tell me how to grow the citrus and how to graft citrus in particular, would tell me that the time to do that is in, I think Tori does it in November. That's his favorite time. I think it may be too late in December to get good results. There's several good reasons for doing it in late November, just before the first frost. November is a great time to do it. But the other great time is in spring. It's not Tori's favorite time, because the cuttings tend to dry out, and the understock tends to outgrow the cutting. There's a lot of issues there. But November, and then again, for your purposes, if you're going to do cleft grafting and you don't want to wait until next November, I would do it in March. Late February, early March. You want the tree to have some, you want the tree to be slipping. You want it to be in growth. Let's say March. March is probably the best time to do your cleft grafting. November, after November. November is the big one. So there you go. I hope that helps. If we have any folks out there who have preferences on cleft grafting and when to do it for satsumas, you give us a call and let us know when you do it and when your favorite time is. I'm telling you what I learned from Tori. Hey, we've about talked our way out of this little segment. We got a caller. I hope the callers will hold on, and we'll be back here right after this break. But feel free to give us a call this morning, 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. It's Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Lots of questions this morning about different things. I'm going to try to get to them all. I wanted to we've been talking about Taxman, who we're missing very much this morning, and we're going to miss him for a long, long time. Big regular on our show, passed away this past week. We got a caller saying, to describe Taxman in a phrase, I would say he had jeu de vivre. He was interested not just in gardening, but also in cooking, politics, and his female friends. Indeed, all of those things were absolutely true. We're gonna miss Taxman a lot on the show. So one of the ways we're honoring Taxman is to remember what a great experimenter he was. I recommend that that you experiment too this year. And we're talking about things we can put in stockings for our kids, a great way to get the kids involved, for our grandchildren, seeds. And you know, if you give your grandchildren seeds, here's a thought, or your children. I hope some of you are young enough to have children. But if you give them seeds, here's what you're giving them. You're giving them a piece of yourself. Because seeds are something they're going to need your help with. So give them something fun. Give them something fun to play with. You call me. We'll talk about what that is, when to plant it, all those things. Easy enough. We'll do it really well. But let's talk about that this morning. Did we have a caller who had a question about sugar snaps, Charlie? Greg, I'm listening. What's up?
My question is, I've heard you say there's several different varieties of sugar snap peas. Do they come in at different times during the year? Where you could plant
one? Yeah, Greg, great question.
Get them coming in later in the year?
Yeah, to a degree. And here's the trick with sugar snaps. You really want to harvest all your sugar snaps in April and May, because by the time June gets here, they're going to be shot. It's just going to be too hot for them. So one of the things I do is I grow a variety of sugar snaps so that I can get them started as early in the year as possible. And then I can keep picking them right in as late as I possibly can into May. The earliest in the year that you can that you can probably get them is sometime in April, and it's possible to get 6 or 7 weeks out of sugar snaps, which is really great if you go with a variety. Greg, the first one I start out with is called Sugar Ann. It's always one of the first to produce. It's really great. It's a great tasting sugar snap for a small variety. Doesn't get very tall. So I'm going to have that one. So that'll be the first sugar snap I start picking. And then about 2 to 3 weeks, and then about a week later, there's a sugar snap called Amish sugar snap, and it'll produce It'll start producing about a week later. And then the other sugar snaps, like magnolia and the tall sugar snaps, will take over at that point, and they'll keep producing to the end of the season. So I extend the season by planting different kinds, and that's my grouping. I would say sugar ant is my first one. Amish sugar snaps are the second ones, and then the tall sugar snaps, like just regular old sugar snap, are my third variety. You're not going to get them into summer because it's just going to be too hot, at least in our climate. Yeah. But, boy, you can get a good long season in spring.
Is there a place local that we can get them at, or do that order them online?
Greg, I haven't found a sugar snaps are not the kind. You generally don't find sugar snaps locally. I don't know if it depends on what A Bloom has in terms of their racks. I don't know whether they have them or not. You tend to find shelling peas locally, but you don't find a lot of variety of sugar snaps locally. So you're probably going to need to find them online. Southern Exposure Seed Exchange. Southern Exposure is one of the best places to get. It's a great place to get sugar snaps, and I would recommend you start with Southern Exposure. And if you don't find what you're looking for there, we can go other places. But they'll have Queen Anne and the Amish sugar snaps, and then the regular sugar snap.
All right. Well, thank you very much,
Greg. It's good to hear. All right, Greg. Good to hear from you. Larry, I'm listening. What's up?
Hey, morning, Bill. I have a grafted key lime tree. It's about 8 or 9 feet high, probably 5, 6, 7 years old, and produces beautiful fruit. But the downside is the fruit is garbage because it's so full of seeds. And I can get maybe 4 drops of lime juice from each piece of fruit. And my question is, someone told me to just dig it up and get rid of it. But my question is, if I take the seed and start over with a new plant, am I still going to get the same junk fruit?
Well, yeah, that's a lot of interesting questions. So you've got, it's unusual that it's grafted. I don't think I ever remember key lime being grafted. That's interesting. Key limes are small fruit. They don't have a lot of juice in them. It's one of their attributes. It's very potent juice. I get more than a few drops. How long have you had this thing in the ground?
I'm thinking maybe at least 5 years.
Wow. And where do you live?
About 8 feet high.
8 feet high. And are you right on the coast? Where are you?
I'm in Sims.
Sims. You know,
close to Moffett Road.
Okay, so here's my thing. If that's a Mexican lime, it should be dead as a doornail by now.
It's doing fine. It has
are
some
you sure it's a Mexican
claws on it, like eagle claws or something. They're just awful spines on it.
Yeah, so I don't think you have, here's the thing, I don't think you have a key lime anymore. I think what you have is the rootstock of whatever, you know, I don't think that's a key lime. Key lime would not be frost sensitive in Sims. So the first time that the temperature got down to 28 degrees in Sims, it would have killed that key lime.
Okay.
Unless you had it in a greenhouse. So
no,
what you've got is the rootstock. Yeah, it's just the rootstock, and probably, I'm not sure which rootstock it is, but it sounds to me like it's with the thorns. If the leaves are in little groups of three, have you noticed that the leaves are in groups of three?
Okay. I don't know.
I think it's a rootstock.
About the leaves, I'll have to check it.
But check it, and if the leaves are in groups of three, it's trifoliate orange for sure, which means it's not key lime. It's just the rootstock that it was planted on. If you do key lime again, it's a great lime. It's not a big lime, but it has a lot more juice than what you're describing.
Yeah.
Put it in a container. It won't survive outside, and it does really well in containers. And you can move the container around in winter so that it gets protected, so you can move it into the garage on cold nights, and it'll do just fine that way. But it's not going to survive in the ground, and I think what you've got is just the rootstock.
Okay, so if it's the leaves are groups of three, then it's a key lime.
No, if the leaves are in groups of three, it's not a key lime. It is a trifoliate. It's not a key lime. It's a trifoliate orange. It's the rootstock. And key limes are a little thorny, but it sounds to me like this is trifoliate orange, which is very thorny and has really big thorns.
Oh, they are.
And,
they're huge. They're about 2 inches long.
So you've just got a rootstock of a plant that is totally useless. So I'd kill that rootstock and start over with a real key lime in a container. Don't even worry about it grafting it.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, those seeds won't work either, Larry. So don't save those seeds. Hey, we'll be back. Give us a call 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Rain, rain on my face.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Talking a little bit about seeds and talking a little bit about Taxman. Taxman would have loved that bump music and loved the chocolate drops, loved hearing from him. We've got Taxman died this past week, so we're honoring him by experimenting, which is what Taxman did, by loving where he is, by discovering the potential for where we are. It's one of the things Taxman did really well. A lot of people are really going to miss him. Have a number of questions. Chris sent me a picture of an old Elliott pecan tree. How'd you know it was Elliott, Chris? That's interesting because it looks pretty old. But here's the interesting thing: it's got some funk at the bottom. It's got some rot at the bottom. Clearly, there's some rot issues. But Chris, I can tell you the first thing you got to do: remove those bricks and take that mulch away from the trunk. You always want to be able to see the root flare, and I'm beginning to lose the root flare. I think that there's been some damage to the trunk, and that's one of the issues. That bark, when it sits right next to the trunk like that, holds moisture in. A mulch is only useful when it's out where the roots are growing and where the feeder roots are growing. And the feeder roots aren't right there next to the trunk. The feeder roots are hundreds of feet away. So you can keep the ground bare around these older trees. It's probably better on these older trees, and I hate to say this out loud because it'll confuse people. On an older tree, it's probably okay to let the grass grow next to the trunk. It's because it's got feeder roots well away from the trunk. But you definitely don't want to put mulch against the trunk of that tree. That's encouraging the rot. You know, there is some rot there. Pecans are susceptible to falling. It's a good idea to have an arborist look at the tree. I don't think you've got evidence that it needs to come down. I think the tree may survive for a long time, but you do have some rot. Move that mulch away from the tree. Never put the mulch right against the trunk. Do I sound confusing? You wouldn't really want to start the mulch until you got to where those bricks are in your picture, and then the mulch should go outside of that as far as you could put it. That would be good. But you don't want to put mulch against a trunk, a young trunk, an old trunk. You always want a space of at least 8 inches where the trunk has room to breathe. That's really important. So yes, there's something you can do about that rot. Two things: remove that mulch. Make sure that the bricks are already there. Leave the bricks. Don't hammer them in anymore because that can damage the roots. But just remove that mulch away from the trunk as best you can. Just do that. Try not to do any more damage to the trunk. But call an arborist. Call somebody like Chris Francis, who we have on our show all the time. But call an arborist. And Chris would note that there are many good certified arborists. Make sure they're certified and have them look at the tree and make sure it's okay. But remove that mulch. That's the first and most important thing. There we go. One caller says, I'm taking seeds from my mother's plants to my grandmother in California. In honor of Jim Oates, he was such a character and was her friend for more than 40 years. Get out of here, kid, was always his closing statement. So here's to tax man. We're all going to miss him. He's been a great guy. We'll do that. One of the things that I've been talking about this morning is having seeds ready to plant. And who was it this morning that wrote in and said, boy, if we have a spring, one of our texts said, if we have a spring like last spring, we're going to have to start our tomatoes right now. And I agree. I mean, one of the things that you really need to do here on the Gulf Coast is to be prepared for the really tough conditions that develop in Mobile, particularly, April is usually a good time for growing tomatoes, but it depends on the rainfall. May is usually a pretty good time for growing tomatoes. But I'm telling you, once June gets here, the tomatoes just quit. So we need to have our tomatoes ready to go as soon as possible. And a lot of times, I think it means having nice, big tomatoes ready to plant. So one of the things you can do is to go ahead and order your tomato seeds this time of year. This time of year, so that we can have them ready to plant, and we'll talk about doing that. I think probably the first or second week in January is a good time. It wouldn't hurt to do it that last week in December. But you see what I'm saying about having those tomato seeds ready to go? I can talk as much as you want me to about my favorite tomato seeds and why they're really great. We can do that on next week's show. But let's be thinking about tomato seeds. Peppers, very important to get peppers right now, because it, particularly for the peppers that we've been talking about, the Caribbean peppers, it can take them a long time to germinate. You want them to germinate them in January, get them growing in your windowsill, growing in a nice sunny place so that you can put them outside, let them breathe a little bit in February. When they've developed some size, they'll be ready to hit the ground running in March and April when you plant them in the ground. And you'll have peppers very early, peppers all summer long, all fall, really great. But we got to start those things now. So it's a great time for peppers and for tomatoes, too. Tara, I'm listening. What's up?
Hey, good morning. It's a beautiful day. I'm very sorry to hear that. I'm already missing Tax Man, even though he got a little aggravated with me for comparing him once, you know, only in voice only to Enrico Caruso. But he was a great voice.
Yes, so it was. I've tried to remember his exact response, but yes, it was. So I do remember this episode when Tara said that the tax man reminded her of one of the world's great.
The tax man reminded me of kind of a combination of John Prine and Enrique Caruso. Now, I didn't say which one was which, but he apparently is.
Right, Enrique Caruso. One of the world's great operatic tenors, I remember that. That well.
The great voice, anyway, and I will always remember Taxman that way, and always be grateful for the great advice that he gave.
Yep. Good to hear from you, Tara. And
I wanted to. I got a question, but I'll save that for last because you can answer it real quick. Of course,
yeah.
You've already answered a bunch of my questions, like the shooter snap peat things. Thank you for being detailed about it, so I can, you know, I could write it down even, and ordering some of the other things. My experiments this year, also the marigolds. I'm glad you said that, but I'm going to try the Mexican mint marigold for the first time. Because
I'm
really interested in things that do double duty, and that, of course, stands in for that spice, right? So,
right.
And I know Baker Creek has it. So,
right.
I'm going to do that, and I might do some more Caribbean peppers. I've got a habanero that I absolutely love, and it's really prolific. And I'm going to try the Alabama red okra. That sounds good, too. My question is what kind of long bean do you recommend? Oh, wait, before I say that, something else that I have that somebody gave to me, and I know that they have in Baker Creek because that's how I found out it was a gift. And so when I saw the picture and was looking through edible flowers, the balloon flower, Chinese balloon flower, it does great here, and it has a beautiful deep blue flower. And that's kind of a hard color to get. I'm not really a flower grower, but I've had so much fun with that one. I would highly recommend it.
Well, that's good to know. You know. And so she's talking about platycodon, right? Platycodon. Yeah, right. And I have not had good success with it in the ground, but Tara grows things in containers. And so apparently she's had really great success with that in containers. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Speaking of good to know, I want to ask you what kind of long bean, yard long bean variety do you recommend for here?
Yeah, so if I'm growing a pole bean, there are several.
No, the yard long bean.
Oh, yard long beans. That's a great question. I don't know which one. I have not had great success with yard long beans in my yard. I don't think that's I think a lot of people do. I didn't in my yard for a lot of reasons, and I'm not sure exactly what I was doing wrong exactly.
Well, but I grew some years and years ago. In fact, it was my grandmother. My grandfather made fun of us when I came home with it because I brought it from off of a rack, and the packet literally said "silly seed," so it was a novelty at that point. And my grandfather, who was not the kind of person, he was kind of a tax man type person, if you know what I mean. He laughed at us, you know, and he went, we're going to try this. Yeah, that bean's going to be lousy. And he had my grandmother cook it, and he was very specific. I told her, don't put any butter on it, and don't put any salt on it, and I'm going to just want to taste it, see how it is. And he said, and it's one of the best beans I've ever tried. But I don't know what variety it was. It was the one
they're very good.
Seeds has apparently gone out of business, so.
Yeah, so there's lots of varieties of I've grown several varieties on my dad's farm in central Alabama. They all did really great. They all did really good during the heat of summer, and they're all absolutely delicious. For people who don't know, yard long beans are actually a close relative of field peas, black-eyed peas, cow peas, southern peas, pecan bean. Purple hull peas. Yep, it's a close relative of all of those. Not so much, and not closely related to snap beans, and not closely related to black beans, turtle beans, and those other kinds of beans. It's sort of in its own little place over there. It's a pea as much as it is a bean, but they can be very good. Tara, you're going to have to experiment because I think they all do equally well. We'll probably all do equally well. I had some problems in my yard in which maybe I wasn't planting them at the right time, but I just can't tell you. I don't think there's that much difference in the performance of the varieties. Mostly it's a difference in the color and how they taste.
Well, I'll try not to learn too much because I always mess up when I do, okay? I'll just do
it. Right. All right. Tara, good to hear from you. We've got to take a break.
Thank you.
We'll be back. Give us a call. We only have a little bit of time left.
And there's a backwards old town that's often remembered so many times that my memories are worn. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's gold train has hauled it away.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. We've been talking about Taxman this morning. Some of you may have tuned in late. Taxman, a longtime friend of the show, a longtime friend of many of us in a lot of ways, one of the people we always look to for advice. We always listen carefully to his opinions, and we're always impressed with his how much he experimented in his garden. And to his last days, he was out working in his garden, coming up with new experiments, trying to figure out what's the best mix for my containers. He died quietly last week. I believe he was probably in his early 80s, I think 81, 82 years old. And we're going to miss Taxman a lot. A lot of people will miss him for a lot of reasons. Great in the Camellia Society. A great character, as some of you have pointed out, in this area. We don't have much time this morning, but we've got a caller. I'm listening. Chuck, I'm listening. What's up? Chuck, you there? Okay, maybe Chuck got bumped off and is coming back on. John, I'm listening. What's up? John, you there?
And I want to kill the grass under the fruit tree without killing the tree. What can I put down to kill the grass without taking my fruit tree out?
Yeah, so there's if you're a commercial grower, they're going to use Roundup, but they will use it very carefully. Roundup is not active in the soil. One thing I would make sure is don't, if you've got any big wounds on your fruit trees, don't use Roundup. If there are any fresh wounds or anything like that, it could be a problem. If you've been mowing around that tree and you've nicked the roots, don't use Roundup. It won't really do a lot of damage to the tree, but it could do a little bit of damage. But professional growers tend to use Roundup underneath their tree. I don't use Roundup in a situation like that. I just pull the grass back or put a mulch on it, just scrape it back. But Roundup, if it's pure Roundup, if it's or pure glyphosate, and doesn't have any of the other anything else in it, that's what they would use. Now, let me tell you, if it only works while the grass is green. So this time of year, if your grass isn't green, it's not going to help. You're going to have to pull it back by hand. So those would be the two ways to do it. Does that help you?
Yeah, I'm not commercial growing. I got about three or four in my yard.
Yeah. Well, we're going to run out of time this week, but call me back next week. Let's talk about them. Let's spend a little bit more time talking about them. But we're going to run out of time to basically figure it out this week. But Chuck, let's go to Chuck real quickly before we lose our time. Chuck, I'm listening. What's up? Chuck, you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We only have a few minutes, a couple of minutes.
Sorry to hear about my tax man, but I called a couple of years ago. My wife is the one that does the cotton seed, and she dyes the dirt, the water when she waters them, and it colors the cotton balls.
Yeah, that was right. I was curious. It was odd. I didn't realize you could do that.
Well, she does it, but I mean, you'd have to. I wouldn't do it, but she has two plants. My question is: last year, are they doing something to the? I used to get the seeds at the seed store, but this year I just pulled some and never grew off of existing. Are they doing something to cotton seeds to buy fresh seeds every year? Can you not do that any longer with just pulling them out of the cotton balls?
Well, yeah, you know, there could be a lot of issues going on there. And if you're getting them from a field, there may be some germination inhibitors that they're putting in there. I'm not sure. They're certainly trying to protect their patents, for better or for worse. That's an interesting question. Boy, we're not going to have time to deal with it all this morning, but let me do some research on it. Call me back next week and let's deal with that. And then let's talk about the best place to get cotton seeds, because there's some really great places to get good cotton that you can save the seed from every year. How does that work?
Okay.
Is that good? Call me back next week.
Sir.
Let's talk about that. Yes, sir. Really interesting story about cotton. I've been doing a little bit of research on that and about what they're doing to seeds. I know where you can get some old-fashioned stuff. Hey, give a gift of seeds this Christmas. Did you hear what I was saying? Give a fruit tree. What a great gift. Give some roses. Give camellias. Taxman would approve. Boy, we're going to miss him. We'll be back next week.